Morning at today's Afan Nuntes Sanhedrin. We are Nun Ches Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, and we're discussing Arayas as it relates to Bnei Noach. There are two basic sheets amongst the Tanaim in terms of what Arayas are also to Bnei Noach. As I mentioned yesterday, and I'm going to repeat, start the shiur today with the same point, and that is that there is an Isser in the Torah of Bnei Noach, both to Jews and to Noachai, to the entire rest of humanity. It just happens to be that our list is longer. Our list is longer, it's more comprehensive, it includes more family members. Their list is a shorter list. What exactly is their list? So it's not clear in the Torah. And the Tanaim have this debate. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer have a machlokas and a braisa. And it's basically a result of how to understand the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. Ken Yazov Ish Es Aviv Ve'Esimo. A person is to leave his father and his mother. Now, the pshuto shel mikra, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that the pasuk is talking about what is supposed to happen emotionally. In other words, what is considered a quote-unquote proper development, and that is that you leave your parents and you get married, and that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. However, the Gemara understands this pasuk also from a halachic perspective, and that is that there's an issur in the Torah that one is not allowed to, for a ben Noach to marry his mother and his father. Now, what does that mean to marry his mother and his father? So that's the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva says that when we're talking about mother and father, mother over here means ima mamish, it's your mamish, your mother. And father over here means eshes aviv, the wife of your father. That's the pshat of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Eliezer says no. Imo and aviv means the brothers of your mother and the brother of your father. Okay, your uncles. Aunts, I should say better. We're talking, okay, Mishkav Zachar is also one of the Arayas, but we're talking about your aunts. Okay, that is Rabbi Eliezer's pshat in the pasuk. And the Gemara yesterday went through the pluses and the minuses, the benefits and the drawbacks of each of those pshatim in the pesukim. But anyway, comes out now, it's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. I mentioned the end of yesterday's shir, I'll just mention it quickly now today, and that is, where does the Rambam's position on this matter? So the Rambam goes like Rabbi Akiva, for the most part. Meaning, if you look at Rambam, I don't have a Rambam with me right now, but I looked it up, I did my research. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tes, so the Rambam over there records the Arayas. He says that the Rambam says that when it comes to the Bnei Noach, so there are six Arayas for a Ben Noach. For us, it's a lot more than six, but there are six Arayas for a Ben Noach. Including those six, by the way, are Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema. So homosexuality and bestiality, it's part of Noachide law. And then on top of that, there's also and adultery. So really, that's those are for the Rambam, numbers 4, 5, and 6. Adultery, bestiality, homosexuality. And then the Rambam says, and then there are three more Arayas. What are the three other Arayas? So the Rambam says, one's mother, one's wife's father, meaning like Rabbi Akiva. And then, oddly enough, the Rambam says, and your mother's sister, right? The Achosimo. So that's a little bit strange that the Rambam included that. It's already noted by many of the commentaries to the Rambam. That's going like Rabbi Eliezer, not going like Rabbi Akiva. Why did the Rambam include that one? Okay. Anyway, and there's also an overarching issue, which I'll mention very briefly right now. And for more on this topic, you can look at the Rambam. You can look at the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam. But that the Gemara yesterday's daf made an alignment between the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and one of the viewpoints of Rabbi Meir. One of the viewpoints of our mayor is that for whatever us is going to be a capital crime of Erva, is going to be also to the Bnei Noach. That was Rav Meir. And to which the Gemara said, but that contradicted another statement by Rav Meir. And the Gemara says, well, it's not a contradiction. One statement of Rav Meir is going like Rabbi Akiva, the other statement is going like Rabbi Eliezer. So as pointed out by many commentaries to the Rambam, so it comes down now from yesterday's daf, the truth of the matter is that if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, it's not really just limited to your mother and to your father's wife, but really the truth of the matter is any Erva, which for us would be a capital crime, should be one of the Arayas for the Bnei Noach. And what's interesting is that the Rambam doesn't write that. The Rambam only writes that which Rabbi Akiva actually stated, which is only one's mother and one's father's wife. Okay, so again, take a look at the Rambam, take a look at the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam. If you want. It is what Rabbi Akiva says. And it's also what the pasuk says as well. So, in other words, I understand it, but after learning the Gemara, so the Gemara actually expands it just a little bit more, and it's just a curiosity that the Rambam does not. Oh, okay. With all that stated, we're going to continue now in the Gemara. We're Nun Ches Amud Beis from yesterday. Four lines from the top of the Amud. Five lines from the top of the Amud. Thank you. Tashma, Gemara says, come in here. Vayikach Amram is Yocheved Dodaso. So Amram takes his aunt as a wife. Okay, Yocheved is a daughter of Yaakov Avinu. Amram is a grandson, and the and he takes Yocheved as a wife. So my love dodoso min ha'em. So the Gemara says now it says aunt. What does that mean? Does it mean a maternal aunt or a paternal aunt? So we don't know, but the Gemara now is guessing. So isn't it talking about a maternal aunt, which according to Rabbi Eliezer is Aser? So, and again, we're assuming right now that we don't assume. We know this part, that this is before the Torah was given. Now we're assuming that they have Ben Noach status at this point in time, and they're subscribing to universal law. So if we're talking about his maternal aunt according to Rabbi Eliezer is Aser. You're not allowed to marry your maternal aunt. So the Gemara says, Lo dodasa min ha'av. So the Gemara says, no, it's not his maternal aunt, it's his paternal aunt. And since it's a paternal aunt, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would be fine. And the Gemara successfully defends the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Continuing, Tashma gamamna achosi bas avihi achlo bas imi. So yes, it's true, says Avram to Avimelech. Yes, it's true, she is my sister. And bas avi achlo bas imi. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. Mechlal de basa emas asura. In other words, and what is Avram Avinu saying to Avimelech? Look, if she was related to me maternally, I wouldn't be allowed to marry her. But she's not related to me maternally; she's related to me paternally, and therefore would be fine. So achos ave bas achos. So I'm sorry. And this would be a support for Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Vitizbro, the Gemara says, well, again, after just having read the Pasuk, the Gemara says, look, are you going to really take the Pasuk literally? Achoso have basachiv havai. She's not a sister. She's a niece to Avram Avinu. So v'kevim da'achihu lo shnam en av lo shnam en aim, sharia. And as a niece, so we know the halacha is that one's allowed to marry your niece. You're allowed to marry your niece, and it doesn't matter whether she is your, I'll say maternal, paternal, but just, I mean by that just simply, whether she's a niece through the mother's side or the father's side. It doesn't matter if she's your maternal niece or if she's your paternal niece. You're allowed to marry your niece. So Allah hasam hachi kamerlei korvada chosis lebahada me abav lo meima. And then, if that's true, the only intent of the pasuk is just simply to point out that she's a sibling. She's like a sibling. So that's why he was justified in telling Avimelech, look, she's like a sister. But in other words, because she is, meaning it's not like she's like a sister, she is. Not sister in the most literal sense, but in other words, she's my brother's daughter. Okay, moving along. Tashma, Adam is bita. Why didn't Adam marry his daughter? Meaning, we know Adam Arishan had many children, and Cain Hevel, and together with Cain Hevel, also there were girls as well, twins, if you will. So why didn't Adam marry his daughter, especially after the death of Hevel? So the Gemara says, "Kadesh Yisa Kainis Achoso." So the Gemara says, because what Adam Arishan wanted to do was, as an act of chesed, leave the daughters for his children to marry. Meaning so that the siblings would marry one another and that he would not marry. Shenemar ki amarti olam chesed yibana. The world is founded on chesed. Meaning that Adam Arishan wanted to do an act of chesed to his children. So he said to his children, look, in theory I can marry the daughters, but I will not marry them so that you marry them. An act of chesed. So halav hachi asira. So the Gemara says, otherwise it would have been usher. So the Gemara says, kevin dishtar ishtar. The Gemara says, yeah, that's true. But again, we're talking about the beginning of humanity. In the beginning of humanity, there was a heter. Once there was a heter for the beginning of humanity, so therefore it's mutter. Meaning that from a certain point going forward, it would be usher. But for Adam Rishon, there was a heter. Kevin dishtar ishtar. Once there was a heter, that heter continued. I'm Ravuna. Okay, period. Okay, and also Rashi points out over here, this is just certainly a note of interest. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Ki amarti olam chesed yibana," that the world is built on chesed, and so therefore an allowance that Adam made for his son Cain, you can marry your sister, I'm not going to marry your sister, meaning I'm not going to marry my own daughter, you marry her. An act of chesed. You'll note, says Rashi. Rashi makes this point. It's not me. You'll note, says Rashi, that when the Torah asers one to marry his sister, the Torah says, Rashi quotes the pasuk, "As a chosopas aviv chesed hu." The Torah says that one is not allowed to marry your sister chesed hu. Now, if you look at Rashi over there in the Chumash, Rashi brings down a couple of pshatim of what the Torah means by that. So, one pshat Rashi says over there is that's embarrassing. The word chesed sometimes can mean, I know this is not the general translation of the word chesed, but sometimes it can mean embarrassing. But Rashi over here on our Gemara points out that the word chesed over there, when the Torah introduces us to the Isra of one marrying one sister, is based on the Gemara that we're learning right now. meaning that originally, the original brother who married his original sister, meaning Cain and his sister, Hevel and his sister, that was an act of chesed. Meaning Adam, who had the ability to marry his own daughter, who had the right to marry his own daughter, gave that right up as an act of chesed to his own children. And that's why the Torah describes a brother and a sister's relationship as a relationship of chesed. Okay. So I entertained that question yesterday. I don't have a good answer. I don't have a solid answer. I mean, your two basic options are it was given to Adam HaRishon, or the other options it was given to Noach and his children. We call them Bnei Noach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they started with Noach. Okay.
Shimon also married
Dina, right? Right. That's right. And Yaakov married. We pointed this out already yesterday. Yaakov married two sisters. Meaning, but that's. Oh, I see. In other words, in terms of brother and sister.
Yeah, Shimon
and Dina. All right. Okay. Fair. Amar Rav Huna kusi mutar bebita. A kusi is allowed to be with his daughter. V'imtor mimne malon asa adam es bito. So why didn't Adam marry his daughter? Kadeshisa kain es achos mishum olam chesed yibana. So again, so it's not one of the arayos of the Ben Noach. A father is allowed to marry his daughter, but Adam waived that right. So that the world could be built on chesed. Now the Gemara brings in another version of this discussion. It starts off with the fact that a man is not allowed to marry his daughter, meaning man, meaning Noachide. And Velohi, but the Gemara apparently rejects it. But again, the Gemara just simply diffuses that, refutes it, and the Gemara says, now Adam not marrying his daughter was not a halachi consideration, it was a chesed consideration. Amar Rav Chista, Eved Mutar Be'imo. An Eved Kenani is allowed to be with his mother, or Mutar Be'bito, and allowed to be with his daughter. Now that obviously is odd and unusual, but the Gemara points out, Yatzmichla Kutil Lechla Yisra Lomba. You see, when you're an Eved Kenani, so where are you halachically? In limbo. You are in halachic limbo. Meaning, are you a Noachide? No, no longer. Because as an Eved Kenani, now you are owned by a Jew. You take on a certain identity as being an Eved Kenani, as being now the slave of a Jew, so you're no longer a Noachide. Are you a Jew? The answer to that is no as well. You're not a Jew. Only upon freedom, upon emancipation, does the Eved Kenani become a full-fledged Jew. So where is he as an Eved Kenani? The answer is nowhere. Halachically in limbo. So, this halachic limbo results in a very strange conclusion, which is that he would be allowed to be with his mother, he'd be allowed to be with his daughter. If a Ben Noach took a Shivcha Kenanis, dedicated the Shivcha Kenanis to a slave, so then having relations with her would be a capital offense because it would be an act of theft. Ubala neregala would be an act of theft, and therefore we know that any violation of a Noachide, of any one of his seven Noachide laws, is subject to the death penalty. Right. But in other words, but once this woman is dedicated to his slave, then that means that she now is owned. I mean owned. She is dedicated to the slave. Owner, oh, okay. Whatever. I'm trying to avoid the word using own, but the idea is that she now belongs to him, to the slave. So, but I understand your point. So, me'emas amrav nachem midei krele revisa de palnaya. So, once she is referred to as the wife of so-and-so. So, in other words, once people start circulating this idea, promulgate this idea, so then she becomes dedicated to that man, and therefore, if the slave himself were to take her, so he'd be over on Geneva Gazela. Me'emasi tarta. Now, at what point in time does she become permitted? So, Amravuna Mishapar Rosha Bashuk. So, when she undoes her hair in the marketplace, right? And in other words, we have this idea that a married woman covers her hair. For Jews, it's a mitzvah. It's clear from the Gemara over here that even in the non-Jewish world, it was common practice that was done where a married woman covered her hair. And the Gemara says is that this shivcha, when is she no longer considered married to the Eved? When she uncovers her hair. A Ben Noach who has relations with his wife, Shalok Kedarka, right? And in a natural way, is subject to a chiyuv. She never v'davak v'lo Shalok Kedarka. meaning that the Torah, when the Torah uses the words vidavak, it means that a noached is to be with his wife and in the normal conjugal manner, and not unnaturally. How do we arrive at this from the word vidavak? So take a look at a Rashi, a very interesting Rashi. Rashi is the second wide line down, beginning of the second wide line down. Ein kan devek shemitoch she'eno nanes bedaver, eino nidvekes imo. In other words, unnatural bia does not have hana for both participants, and therefore that does not create a dvekus. A dvekus is where there's hana for both participants. So a nachri is not allowed to have bia shlo kedarka with his wife. Amarav amikimi did Yisrael mechayev v'kutsi mechayev. So the Gemara says now for Yisrael he wouldn't be mechayev, and for kutsi he would be mechayev. El amarav benoch shabal eshet chaver shlo kedarka pater. So the Gemara modifies the statement. The Gemara says that when it comes to a ben Noach who has relations with Eshet Chaver Shelo Kedarka, so then he would be exempt. My taima, and the reason being is Beishto Velo Beishet Chavero, because it says that Beishto and not Eshet Chavero. Vedavik Velo Shelo Kedarka. And Vedavik means that the only way that it violates the rule of Eshet Ish of adultery is only when it's Kedarka, not when it's Shelo Kedarka. Okay? Comes out pretty clear from the Gemara that Beish Shelo Kedarka would be allowed between husband and wife, both for Jew and non-Jew. That would seem to be the conclusion of the Gemara. For more discussion on that, see the second Tosfos over here who discusses it. I'm not going to go through it right now. And obviously there is much more to discuss on this topic, but it's obviously a very delicate topic, and it has real halakhic ramifications. If you have a non-Jew hitting a Jew, so he's going to be chayv misa. Rashi over here points out, sorry again, not Rashi. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of that today. The Rambam over here points out, not misa bidei adam. In other words, it's not a capital offense. But in other words, misa bidei shamay. Now, Moshe looked in both directions, and because the Mitzri hit the Jew, so therefore Moshe had the right and felt the entitlement to hit the Mitzri and even kill the Mitzri. Now Rashi over there in Chumash brings down that how did he kill the Mitzri? So not by hitting him actually, but using Shem Hashem. So in other words, it speaks to this idea that the allowance to kill the Mitzri is not an actual court allowance, but rather it's Misa Bidei Shamayim. Slapping the face of a Jew is like slapping the face of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Mokesh Adam Yalla Kodesh. Okay, the Adam over here is a reference to if any person were to hit a Jew, so then Yalla Kodesh, it's as if it's tantamount to hitting Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Magbia Avdo Shabbat Siman Amar Eshakish Magbia Avdo Chavero Afa Pishlo Ikao Nikra Rasha. Someone who raises his hand against his friend, even though he doesn't hit him, is referred to as a Rosh Hashanemar. But Yomar L'Rosh Lama Taka Re'echa. Lama Hikita Lo Nemar El Lama Taka. So even just by the raising of your hand, so that will create a status of being a Rosh. Af Apish Lo Hikahu Nikra Rosh. Even before hitting, just the act of raising your hand against another Jew is considered an act of Rishos. Ziri Amar Yechanin Nikra Chote. You're referred to as a sinner Hashanemar. V'im Lo Lakachti B'chazaka. You're considered a chote. The difference over here in nuanced language, whether you're a rush or whether you're a chote, I'm not sure if I have the ability to articulate what the differences would be, but in other words, certainly I get from the Gemaras that it is a bad thing to even raise your hand against another Jew. Rav Huna Amar Tikat Yad, Rav Huna says that his hand should be cut off. Shenemar Uzror Ramati Shaber. And Rav Huna cuts Yadam. And Rav Huna actually cut somebody's hand off because he hit his friend. Okay, a number of things to be said over here. That Rav Huna actually cut somebody's hand off, it does not sound like our religion. It sounds like other religions that we're talking, describing over here in terms of the cutting of the hand. This idea of cutting off the hand, you're going to see it right here in our dafts and Sanhedrin Nun Ches. You're also going to see it in the second parak of Nida, this idea of cutting off a hand. The easiest way for you and I, or I'll speak for myself, the easiest way for me to understand the Gemara is that the Gemara here is not to be taken literally, not an actual cutting off of the hand, but rather a punitive fine for the individual who hits another person. We know, like so for example, I'll give you a simple example. We know the Torah says, "Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yad tachas yad, regal tachas regal." We know that the Torah says eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, etc., etc. And we also know, 8th Perek of Baba Kama, that that's not to be taken literally. Of course the Torah does not want us to take off a limb as a way of getting back at the person who took off your limb. The Torah over there means compensation, financial compensation. So over here, the Gemara could mean the same thing. It's possible. And again, certainly... It's certainly the easiest way to understand the Gemara. Although, to be fair, not all the Rishonim say it that way. It doesn't seem that way from Rashi. Doesn't seem that way from Tosfos. Okay. And is this a Knas or is this Mammon? Another discussion. Again, you can see Rashi and Tosfos right here on the daf. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Amar Ein Lo Takana Ela Kavura. Rabbi Lazar says that a person hitting another person. So really, what's the remedy? What's the solution? The solution is bury him. Shenemar v'Yisrael lo ha'aretz. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lazar lo nina karka ela labale zroos. Also, people involved in real estate, people who own land. So they have to be tougher people. Meaning that when you are buying land, acquiring land, so you can't be a nice, soft individual. You got to be hard. You have to be a bal zroa. You have to be a tough person. Shenemar v'Yisrael lo ha'aretz. V'Amar Yishlakish mai dechsev oved ad maso yizbalachem. A person who works the land and works the land with a lot of effort, maximum effort, so he's going to enjoy and benefit from the eating of the food. If you become like a slave to the land, so then you're going to enjoy the bread that comes out of the land. Otherwise, you're not going to enjoy the bread. The simplest idea that the Gemara seems to be communicating to us is that when you're working the land, so a nominal amount of effort is insufficient. In other words, working the land, you need to put in maximum effort. A non-Jew who takes upon himself that he's going to rest one day of the week is going to be subject to Misa. Again, Misa over here probably is meant to be understood not as an actual capital crime subject to the death penalty, although the Gemara later on does not seem to say the way I'm saying it right now. But anyway, but it's subject to Misa. Shenemar v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu. Now it says...
When you say work, are you talking about 39 malachot that applies to Jews, or what kind of malachot is that?
Seemingly. The Gemara is not clear about that point. Seemingly. So, v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu, the pasuk says in Bereishis that the instruction that was given to Adam Arishim was, you work day, you work night, you work all the time. V'amamar azar shalem zu misasan. And we've also know that once they're given an azar, once they're given a warning in the Torah, so that's it. There's no separate pasuk that describes the actual penalty itself. Again, as I mentioned just a moment ago, it seems from the Gemara over here that the Gemara's Misa is not Misa Bidei Shemayim, but it actually means Misa Bidei Adam, meaning this is one of the Noachai laws. I'm Ravina Afilu Shein B'Shabbos. Now, even if they choose another day of the week, meaning that let's say for whatever reason they don't like the seventh day of the week. Okay. But they want to rest, meaning they want to take a day off. So they decide Monday. And I totally understand. I'm meaning of all the days of the week to take off, Monday is the best day to take off. Okay. So the... I get it. But in other words, so let's say that they choose another day. That too is going to be a violation of this Isser, of this Ben Noach Isser, and that too will result in a Misa penalty. Now the Gemara asked the question, so the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then let it be counted as one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, meaning we've gone through the list already, we are now on day 3 of the Sugya of Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach. It started back on Nun Vav Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Amud. So now, Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches, and as we're about to start now, Daf Nun Tes. So really, my counting was off. We're on day 4. We're on day 4 of this discussion. We have not heard this yet, that the observance of Shabbos is prohibited to a Noachide. So the Gemara says, so why isn't it counted as one of the Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach? V'lich Shuvei Gabi Zayin Mitzvot Ki Kachashav Sheva Altase Kum V'Aseh Lo Kachashav. So the Gemara starts off with the following answer. It's certainly an insufficient answer, but the Gemara starts us off with the following. You know, we only counted the mitzvahs as sheve al tase, the don'ts. We didn't count any of the do's. This is a do. And what the Gemara is effectively telling us, just I want us all to process and absorb what the Gemara just basically said, that the observance of Shabbos is a do, not a don't. I know, it's both, really. Right, correct. Meaning, the violation of malacha is certainly a don't. But the idea of the Gemara that Shabbos is principally a do... meaning resting is a positive act. Okay. That's a concept that, like, I'm going to just pause on for a moment. In other words, it's something that we all need to digest. That it's really a do. Shabbos is fundamentally a do, not a don't. So the Gemara says, V'ha dinim kum asehu v'kachashiv. The Gemara says, now wait one second, this answer really is insufficient because of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, one of them is Dinim. Dinim is a do, it's not a don't. So the Gemara says, Kuma Seva Sheva Al Ta'a Sein Enu. So the Gemara interestingly says, no, when it comes to setting up a court, it's both. It's both a do and a don't. What does that mean? So Rashi over here writes, I'm paraphrasing Rashi, I encourage you to look it inside later on. So Rashi over here writes, you know, the court's not always on session, meaning the judges aren't always judging. There's time on, there's time off. And yet, even during the time off, there still is a commandment of dinim. So dinim is applicable even when court is off. Shabbos, on the other hand, for that day of Shabbos, for that entire day of Shabbos, there is a positive commandment to rest on that Shabbos. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ove Kochavim Shosek B'Torah Chayv Misa. A Ove Kochavim involved in the study of Torah is subject to Misa. Shenema Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Morash Alano, Morash Avalo Lahem. So the Gemara says that it is a Morasha, it is our inheritance, not theirs. So it's for us to learn, not theirs. V'lichshu v'gabi sheva mitzvos. So the Gemara says, now, why isn't this including the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So, man da amar morasha migzo kagazoleh. Now, if the way you understand the pasuk is morasha, meaning that it's our Yerusha, so that means that it is actual property of ours, owned by us. And so, therefore, they take it, that's gzela. So, in other words, included in the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And man da amar morasha, dinu kenar morasha de biskila. And if that word is not to be understood as Marasha, but Ma'orasa, that we have a certain relationship with the Torah, it's like it's Ke'ilu. It is a Nara Murasa, who is married to her husband. So we are married to the Torah. So then, again, already covered, so to say, in the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. We have to deal with the statement of Rameir. Rameir says that if you have an Ove Kochavim learning Torah, he has the status of a Kohen Gadol. Every person, all of humanity, engaged in the study of Torah, is treated like a Kohen Gadol, is like a Kohen Gadol. So now, obviously, we have a stira. One statement is that a Ovi Kochavim that is Osik B'Torah is Chayv Misa. The other statement is that an Ovi Kochavim studying Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. Obviously, that's called a stira. It's a classic one. The Gemara gives an answer. Hosam b'sheva mitzvos idu. Answer of the Gemara is very simple. Is that, look, learning Torah for a non-Jew in general, meaning all the mitzvos that do not relate to him, that is aser. However, learning the mitzvos of the Torah that apply to them, meaning the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, that they are not only advised to do, they should be doing that, and for them to study that, they are treated like a Kohen Gadol. And it goes without saying, but I'll say it obviously. In other words, this is only if the guy is not interested in Geirus. But once the guy is interested in Geirus, so obviously then there would be an allowance for him to study Torah. Not only an allowance, an encouragement to do so. You'd like to know what you're getting yourself into. Okay. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Afa Adam Menachai. We're now going all the way back. Okay. So after having segued and digressed slightly within the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, now we're going back to the original list that was given to us. The original list that was presented to us takes us all the way back to the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, to the top of Nun Vav Amud Beis. And if you remember, it's now going back some time, even in Daf Yomi terminology, if you remember, the Gemara quoted the opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who says that also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Enoch is not just Eiver Menachai, the taking off of a limb of a live animal and consuming the limb, but even extracting the blood from a live animal and eating the blood. Like a vampire. A vampire bat. But anyway, but we're talking now about you and I. So, well, not you and I, but basically all of Bnei Noach. So, V'amar Rav Yochanan Ovi Kocham Sheosek B'Torah Sari. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Af Adam Menachai. Tan Rabbanan. Achbas Amin Asho Adam Aloso Chelu Zu Eivir Menachai. So the Brice over here starts with the opinion of the Tanakama. The Tanakama understands the Pasuk in Parshas Noach that there's an Isser for Bnei Noach not to eat the limb of a live animal, which is the position that we introduced ourselves already at the beginning of the whole sugya. And Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Af Adam Menachai. And according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it also includes not just the limb of an animal, but blood as well. My time to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Karibay, Basar ben Afshalo Sochel, Damo ben Afshalo Sochel. He will take this pasuk from Parshas Noach, and he will basically splice the pasuk up. The pasuk reads, Ach Basar ben Afshalo Damo, and what he does is he takes those two expressions, Basar ben Afshalo and the word damo, and he breaks it up, and both of them are going to be attached to the end of the pasuk of lo sochelu. You're not allowed to eat either. Neither the meat nor the blood of the animal, of a live animal. V'rabbanan. Now what will the chachamim do with that pasuk? How do they understand the pasuk? Halamishra shratim udasa. What the pasuk is coming to teach us is that the only time that it would be prohibited to eat Avram and Achai is only from an animal whose flesh and blood are two different statuses. So for example, for a regular animal, the flesh, the basar, is one entity, and the blood is a separate entity. However, when it comes to a sheretz basically is anything that crawls on the ground. So for them, for the shratzim, so the blood and the meat are not considered two separate entities. They're considered one in the same entity, halachically, as it relates to Tumah Tahara, as it relates to other halachas as well. So therefore, for shratzim, there is no issur for Avram and Achai. The issur of Avram and Achai is only for those animals where the blood and the flesh are two separate entities. Kayotze b'davar ha-tomer rachazak levati achol adam ki adam hu ha-nefesh. And similarly, now this is takes us back to the Braisa, and this is still a reflection of the opinion of Rabbi Chanina, who says that one is not allowed to eat the flesh of an animal, and one is not allowed to eat the blood that comes off of a live animal. That when blood is coming out from a live animal, one is not allowed to eat the blood. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, no. That blood is not talking about the blood that's coming off of a live animal. That blood is talking about blood that comes off of an animal that was not shechted. Meaning, here's what we know. And again, I'm paraphrasing Rashi over here. The Rashi that I'm paraphrasing is V'rabbanan. Here's what we know. When you shecht an animal, so obviously with the shechita, and that is the severing of the neck of the animal, so out is going to pour out blood from the neck of the animal, and that blood is dam shah nefesh yotzeis bo. That blood is the blood, the vital blood, the lifeblood of the animal, and that blood, if one consumes it, is subject to the kares penalty. Okay, eating blood of the animal after that point in time that did not come out at the point of shechita, so that blood is also going to be also, but that blood, but that the eating of that blood is iser, is only a lav. I say that relatively speaking, it's not the iser kares of the lifeblood. So that is if you shecht an animal. What the Gemara is telling us over here is that the same halacha would be true if that blood were to come out even not through shechita. Meaning, let's say the animal got a serious laceration on its side, and now the animal bleeds out and bleeds to death, even though that blood did not come out through the neck. Nevertheless, that blood is going to be asur min haTorah, subject to the penalty of karis. That's what the Chachamim teach us from that pasuk. Okay. At this point in time now, the Gemara is going to take a broader step backward, a step backwards, and take a broader look at the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Okay. Let's think about it fundamentally. In other words...
Isn't one of the seven liquids blood?
Yeah.
That you can eat?
No, the seven liquids is a different halacha. That's the halacha of Machshirin, that when the seven liquids come into contact with the food now is susceptible to tumah. It's separate from our discussion over here. We're taking a step backwards and we're looking at a broad look at the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Let's all consider. Okay? In other words, how is humanity set up? So, again, whenever the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach were given, by Adam, by Noach, so it was set up where basically humanity was supposed to abide by seven laws. Period. Then, later on, a thousand years later, right, Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948. I'm talking about from Bria's Olam. We were given the Torah in 2448. Okay, I said 1,000 years. My math was terrible. 500 years. Okay, 500 years after Avram was born. So we were given the Torah, which means now that there is a group of people, right, that is now subject to many more of the mitzvahs of the Torah. What happens to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? So basically what we're going to be discussing right now in the Gemara is that under certain circumstances they maintain, and what about its application towards us? So it's going to depend on whether or not those mitzvahs were repeated at Maamad Har Sinai or not repeated at Maamad Har Sinai. Now when I say repeated, I mean, how do we know? Meaning whatever's recorded in the Torah. Whatever's recorded in the Torah is assumed to have been repeated at Maamad Har Sinai, and so therefore, it is going to have an effect on us. What the Gemara is now going to be discussing from here through a good part now of the balance of today's daf is how is it going to have an effect on us for those mitzvahs of either Bnei Noach that are repeated at Sinai, those mitzvahs of Bnei Noach that are not repeated at Sinai, those mitzvahs, well, there's actually even another category which we're also going to discuss as well. Gemara starts off the discussion right here. Lama lila mitzvah l'Bnei Noach v'lama lila mishnah b'Sinai. Ask the Gemara, why is it that mitzvahs were given to Bnei Noach and then repeated to us again? Rashi over here writes as follows. Lama lila mechtav. I'm reading the Rashi here inside. Aver menachai b'sinai v'neoach atu Yisrael mishum dekablu Torah yatsu mechla mitzvahs harishonos. So, look, let's turn all of our attention to Aver menachai. Aver menachai. So, it was given to Bnei Noach, and then when we were there at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated that mitzvah to us, that iser to us. So, what the Gemara is articulating as a question, what Rashi's explaining is, why the repetition? It seems odd. Meaning, okay, so we're given now an assortment of a lot more mitzvot than the universal law. But are things changing regarding Avram and Achai? That the Torah had to repeat the Isser of Avram and Achai to us? Doesn't make sense. Rashi continues. I'm reading the Rashi. Bishlam avodas kocham megillah arayz b'sina lemosaya nishnes lefish lo pirshu kokach b'bnei noach alei lo averos on sham aleim v'chein ba'arayz lefarish on sham v'lo evr menachai lamele l'adori. Look, says Rashi. Avodah zarah, gilu arayz. I understand the need of repetition of those mitzvos at Mamad Har Sinai. There are many more details that we have that they don't have. There are many more aspects of it that we have that they don't have. So for those averos, I certainly understand repetition. At Mamad Har Sinai. Avram and Achai, it's really simple. Don't tear the limb off of a live animal. Nothing changed. The nature of the Avera did not change. So why then is it being repeated at Mamad Har Sinai? And again, when I say repeat at Mamad Har Sinai, I mean it's included in the Torah to us, but it shouldn't be. There seemed seemingly no need for it to be repeated in the Torah. It was already given to Bnei Noach. And the nature of the mitzvah hasn't changed. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara is going to answer. So v'lam l'mishnah b'sinai. So kidder Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Dam Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Kol mitzvah shenemra l'vnei noach v'nishas b'sinai, l'zeh u'l'zeh nemra. So here it gives us now the rule of Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina. And it starts like this. If we have a mitzvah that's given to Bnei Noach, repeated to us at Sinai, so that means it's applicable to them and to us. L'vnei noach v'l'nishas b'sinai, if however it was given to Bnei Noach, not repeated at Sinai, L'Yisrael Nemra V'lo L'Bnei Noach, it means that it's for us and not for Bnei Noach. It sounds a little bit counterintuitive, I know.
Right?
Huh? Yes. V'anu Ein Lanu Ela Ginanash V'Aliba De Rav Yehuda. Now, what's an example of that? Where, given to Bnei Noach, not repeated at Sinai, and meanwhile only applies to us. So, an example of that would be only one, and only according to one opinion, and that's Ginanash according to Rav Yehuda. Let me explain. Again, here I'm going to paraphrase Rashi. I'm not reading the Rashi inside, but basically, let me explain. The mitzvah of Gid HaNashe, where are you going to find it in the Torah? You're only going to find it in one location in the Torah. Parshas Vayishlach. Okay? Yaakov comes back from Lavan, leaves a couple of small little Kalim Ketanim, Pachim Ketanim, goes back to the river, is alone, found alone, and meets up with Sarah Shal Esav. They wrestle until the morning. Everyone's familiar with the episode, I assume. Okay, they wrestle till the morning, and then the Malach hits Yaakov Avinu on the thigh and hits him right on the nerve, on the sciatic nerve, and don't ask me for a medical report, but it's a dislocation, whatever. Okay, right. Some form of sciatica. Okay. All funny until you actually have it. Anyway, so now, where else are you going to find Gidonash in the Torah? That's a trick question. The answer is nowhere. It is nowhere else in the Torah. Meaning that you go through the entire, right, read on from there, and the Torah never formalizes this as an Isser. So, the question over here is really simple. Well, first I'm going to deal with something which is not a question. Because it's not written in the Torah later on, does that mean it does not apply to us? Of course it applies to us. Meaning, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay. Here is the question, which now is open for a debate amongst the Tanayim. Was it actually given to Yaakov and his children, or no? Maybe the mitzvah was given at Mamad Har Sinai. It's just that when Moshe wrote it down, he placed it in Parshas Vayishlach because the mitzvah came as the result of Yaakov Avinu, but it didn't apply until actually Mamad Har Sinai. And what do we find in the Mishnah Chulin? A machlokus on this very point. Rev Yehuda is of the opinion that the mitzvah was actually given to Yaakov and his children.
Said it explicitly, though.
Yeah, so the word B'nai Yisrael can be understood in one of two ways. B'nai Yisrael can be understood literally, or it can be understood B'nai Yisrael, meaning the Jewish people. Okay? So Rev Yehuda over there in the Mishnah Chulin says that it applies to B'nai Yaakov. Okay, now it comes out now that according to Rav Yehuda, so here we have, it's the only example of a mitzvah that was given to B'nai Noach. By the way, note, and it's certainly an interesting note, that Yaakov and his children are referred to as B'nai Noach. It makes perfect sense. The Torah was not given as of yet. So what status do they have?
Well, they are B'nai Noach.
And as Ben points out correctly, they are literally B'nai Noach. I mean, a couple of generations later, but they're B'nai Noach. So, status-wise, the children of Yaakov are considered B'nai Noach. They, according to Rav Yehuda, are now observing the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. Is it repeated at Har Sinai? The answer is no. And when I say wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, meaning it's not recorded in the Torah at any later point in time. Right? After Yisro, you do not find Gid Anasha. And so, here is now the second part of Rabbi Yossi's rule, where you have a mitzvah in the Torah that was given to B'nai Noach before Har Sinai, not repeated at Har Sinai, it only applies to Jews. Gid Anasha does not apply to the Noachites, which is good news for them. They can enjoy the back end of an animal. Filet mignon, perfectly fine for the Noachites. For us, on the other hand, we have the Yisur of Gid Anasha. Okay, so that second statement of Rabbi Yossi really only applies for Gid Anasha and only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Mar. Gemara says, let's review what we just learned. And let's do a little bit of a deeper dive. The Gemara says, can't the argument go the other way? That if you have the mitzvah being repeated at Mamad Har Sinai, it should apply only to us, not to them. So, the Gemara says, look, as an argument, you can make the argument. However, the Gemara says, but we know otherwise. Let's take Avodah Zarah as an example. Avodah Zarah. The Torah tells us, a couple parshiyos ago, Perek Yud Ches and Sefer Dvarim, all right, Rashi over here brings it down, that the Canaanites were expelled from Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Torah says because they were Ovid Avodah Zarah. So therefore they were expelled from Eretz Yisrael. So how could they be punished if there is no Isser of Avodah Zarah? So in other words, we're just simply working backwards. By virtue of the fact that they were punished, clearly it was after Mamad Har Sinai, it means that we know that Avodah Zarah was still applied to them even after Mamad Har Sinai. So although you could make the argument and you could say, well, if the it was repeated at Mamad Har Sinai, it applies only to us, not to them. But we just know it's not the case. We see that the Noachites of the world were punished for Avodah Zarah. And Rashi also points out, we also see it for Gilui Arayos as well. Anyway. So the Gemara says, now let's go on to the second statement of Rav Yossi. You have a mitzvah that was given to Noah, to the Noachites, not repeated at Har Sinai, but it only applies to us, not to them. The Gemara says, if you think logically, it should work the other way around. If it's a Noachite law, not repeated at Har Sinai should apply to the Bnei Noach and not to us. Gemara says, no. Like a midam de Yisrael shara lo'ovi kochavim aser. So the Gemara now gives us our big rule of the day. Our big rule of the day is that there is no such thing as an Avera that would apply to a Ben Noach that would not apply to us. Meaning, I guess this you could look at this as a very big idea. I think it is a big idea. Meaning the idea is that as a Jewish people, we have an awesome responsibility, and you're not going to find that as this Aman Nivchar, with this awesome responsibility, you're not going to find an Isser in the Torah that should apply to the Bnei Noach and not apply to us. Meaning we have more responsibility, and therefore we're subject to more averas. And you, just as a fundamental rule, you will not find something that is an allowance for us, but not an allowance for the Bnei Noach.
As who repeated
Wait just one second. We'll get there. Resting, you're asking the right question.
Resting is one of them.
Resting is one of them. Also, you're asking the right question. So stay tuned. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara starts off trying to challenge this rule that we just learned together. What about Eishes Yifas Tor? When we go out to war, so we're given an allowance of Eishes Yifas Tor, and this allowance is only given to the Jewish people. It's not given to the Noachites. So the Gemara gives such an interesting response to this. So the Gemara says they don't have this idea of conquering a land. Rashi over here points out. Fascinating Rashi. Rashi says that the only nation in this world who has an obligation to conquer a land, not a right, but an actual obligation, is us, the Jewish people. Rashi says, Lav b'nei kivish ninu, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Lo nidna eretz lichvosh ki im li Yisrael, sha'af li Yisrael lo huta yifas Torah elam b'milchama ayide kivish. The idea of Eishes Yifas Torah is only for land that we are conquering. We are the only nation in this world who has an obligation to conquer land, notably Eretz Yisrael. Other nations of the world certainly can conquer a land, certainly have the allowance to conquer a land, but not the obligation to do so. We're the only one who does so. So in the course of conquering Eretz Yisrael, we have now the heter of Yifas Torah.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. No, I totally agree. Bring them today's daf, Sanhedrin, daf, and tes. Okay? It's right in our books. Okay. So you're right. What you're saying is the first Rashi and Chumash, meaning that's why, right? First Rashi and Chumash. Okay. The Havarei Pachos Mishav Pruta. Now the Gemara says, now we do have an allowance that they don't have. We steal from another Jew less than a Shav Pruta, so it's not Geneva. They steal less than a Shav Pruta, it is Geneva. So what do we find? Something that applies to them that doesn't apply to us, and Isser for them, not Isser for us. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Dalav Nei Mechila Ninu. Second time we're introduced to this idea. It's theft all around. In other words, when you steal, that's an act of stealing. It doesn't matter if it's less than a Shav Pruta. We, on one hand, who have a little more Rachmanis, and by the way, I'll just emphasize that for just one second. We should be having more Rachmanis. So we have Rachmanis. So if somebody takes from us less than a Shav Pruta, okay. It's an act of theft, but you know what? Let it go. It's not worth it. Right. But they... The Noachites, on the other hand, who are not as Balei Rachmanim, so for them, every act of theft is not going to be just simply waived and it's okay, and so therefore it's going to be counted. But in other words, on the fundamental level, it's theft all around, both for Noachites and for the Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says, V'chol mitzvah shenemra l'bnei Noach v'nishas b'sina l'zev l'zenemra. If you have a mitzvah that was said to given over to Bnei Noach, repeat it to us, so it applies to both Jew and Noachide alike. We are now on the very top of Nun Tes Amud Beis. V'arei Mila shenemra l'bnei Noach t'chsiv v'atas b'sit t'shmor v'nishnas b'sinai. So the mitzvah of Mila was given to the Bnei Noach. Again, go back to an idea that I mentioned already earlier this morning. Avraham is a Ben Noach. Torah was not given yet. And he was given the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And Nishnas B'Sinai, and it was repeated at Sinai, we find it in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, and yet, we know, the mitzvah applies to Jew, not to Noachide. And so, why? And based on the rule that you just told me, that if you have a mitzvah that was given to the Bnei Noach, and repeated at our Sinai, it should apply to both. Answers the Gemara. Ha'ula Mishrei Shabbos U'da'asa B'yom Ha'afil B'Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no. The repetition of the mitzvah of Bris Mila later on is not to teach us about the fundamental mitzvah, meaning that already was given to us. It's to teach us a detail in the halacha, which is that if the eighth day of the Bris Mila comes out on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to override the Shabbos in order to perform the Bris Mila. But it's for a detail, not for the mitzvah itself. So the Gemara says, what about the mitzvah Peruvu? Given to the Bnei Noach, repeated to us at Ma'amad Har Sinai, based on the rule of Rabbi Yossi, that means now that it should apply universally, both to Noachide and to Jew alike. And meanwhile, the halach is that it only applies to Jew, not to Noachide. So the Gemara says, why should that be? Hahu, So the Gemara says, the fact that it was repeated later on, that after Ma'amad Har Sinai, the Jewish people were given a heter to go back and to their wives, so that was because an isser was issued to them that for Ma'amad Har Sinai, they can't be with their wives. And so therefore, to lift that ban, there was a special mitzvah that was given. But that wasn't a mitzvah in general terms. That was just simply a lifting of the ban that was placed before Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, so, based on these answers that were given, so basically what we can now say basically is that any mitzvah that was given before Har Sinai to the Noachites, and then was repeated to us, we can give this kind of approach, where it's not the mitzvah that was repeated, it was just the detail that's repeated. Hachi kamar. Azar me'edar umisne be lamale. So the Gemara says the general prohibition is not to be repeated. Meaning, you're right. If we have a certain particular detail that's being repeated, so again, we can make the argument that it's just simply for the detail. If it's the general issue that is being repeated once again, so that means that it is to be universally applied to both Jew and non-Jew alike. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We are kind of in the middle of mid-sentence. I apologize, but time is really up, and we'll continue tomorrow.